And another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the principal's office of free speech, because, you know, if you're in class and you say bad things or whatever, you get sent to the principal's office. But this principal's office, you're going to be told, yeah, you can speak freely. You can say what you want to say, and you're going to be sent back out, and you're going to speak freely. And with a good education or something like that, whatever, you know what I'm doing. Anyway, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage, send, milk money. You know, you don't want your kids not to be able to buy milk at lunch, and, don't wear the dunce cap. Okay. It's all connected somehow. Okay, so today we have with us Cato. Cato, welcome to the show.
It's good to be back. Weather is finally cooling down all over the states and also the Northern Hemisphere. Right now is, I guess people will say, it's the perfect weather, perfect time of the year, because it's not too hot, mm-hmm. not too cold.
Yeah.
And of course, the bad news, though, is that in a few months, it's going to be winter. And, yeah, we'll see what happens in Europe, but it's not looking good over there.
We'll see what happens. Yeah, right now we've got autumn foliage, which is very nice if you're in the right part of the country. If you're in Louisiana, it's just a swamp, but at least it's a warmer swamp. I mean, it's a not as hot of a swamp as it would have been a couple of months ago. So there you go, Louisiana. Okay. And in Europe, it will be getting cold. And of course, there's a whole Ukraine stuff going on. I'm sure we will be getting to that. But first, I want to, address an issue surrounding, I think the most famous alumni of the Nanjing China elementary school system, which would be one Kanye West. And, right? Fifth grade in China, and at the time, I guess, spoke some Chinese, doesn't seem to remember any now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't, yeah, I mean, I guess so. I didn't know the last one, but yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So, I do hear people sometimes saying, what the heck are we talking about Kanye West for? Blacks aren't our allies. Kanye's only, you know, he was married to the Kardashians. He's got mulatto children. Whatever. And, what else? Oh, and he's just complaining about what Jews do to blacks. And I think he's missing the big point. I think the big point is, and tell me if you agree, I think the point isn't whether he's our ally, whether he's pro-white, although you do have to acknowledge that this whole brouhaha started when he wore a White Lives Matter shirt, he and Candace Owens. But that's not even the issue. The issue isn't whether he's pro-white or good for white people or if he's a bad example for black people or this or that. To me, the significant thing is that we have in this country a taboo on the discussion of Jewish power. And as Gilad Osman has aptly stated, the essence of Jewish power, the foundation, I'm going to improve it, the foundation of Jewish power is the ability to stifle the discussion of Jewish power. Well, if that wall, that dam, that dike against the discussion of Jewish power, if that is breached, and it doesn't matter who does the breaching or why they do the breaching, that is a huge deal. And nobody who has a big public audience, you know, Dr. Duke used to be able to get into the news, you know, on a news show every now and then, but nobody with a big audience today, a big mainstream audience today, has been willing to breach the issue of Jewish power until now. And Kanye West, maybe he's not the most articulate, maybe he's not the person you wish had had the ball in his hands at the end of the game, but he is the one with the ball in his hands because he's the only one who called for it. And is he talking eloquently about Jewish power? I don't know. Maybe not eloquently, but he is calling it out forcefully, very forcefully, in fact, with lots of F-bombs, and a lot of it has substance to it. And so I think this is why I think it's important, because he is somebody who can't be ignored. You're already having some people follow suit. Unfortunately, I'm not seeing any white people with a big audience following suit, but you've got Jason Whitlock, who he has a fair-sized audience, and he gets on Tucker's show, and he's following suit saying, well, it's not all Jews, it's just the secular Jews. Well, that's most Jews anyway. They're mostly secular Jews anyway. And then you've got, who's the other guy? It's Tommy Sotomayor, who's not quite mainstream, but he's still, you know, he's coming out really hardcore. And he's somebody that, you know, Dr. Duke used to talk to. So he might not be quite qualified as mainstream, but so that's happening. And it's also, before I kick it over to you, it's forcing people to take a side. And, you know, Candace Owens, she's, you know, she's saying, well, what he's saying is not, she's taking his side, but she's saying what he's saying isn't really anti-Semitic, which, you know, is that going to be acceptable to her boss, Ben Shapiro? I don't know. And Tucker has kind of stuck up a bit for Kanye West, or Ye, whatever we call him, but really hasn't addressed the so-called anti-Semitism yet. But he's going to have to. He will have to. And Donald Trump will have to. I mean, he is going to be asked, because Kanye West is saying that the attack on him is rooted in his support for Donald Trump. Donald Trump will be forced to ask. He will be asked, you know, you say you're Israel's best friend ever. What about Kanye West? He supported you, and he's calling out Jewish power. Where do you stand on that? I don't know how Trump's going to come out on it, but to have this kind of public discussion, I think, is enormous. And that's the point. Finally, we're having a discussion, a big public discussion on Jewish power, and that's thanks to Kanye West. It really is thanks to him. And that's, to me, that's the point. What do you think, Cato?
Well, I mean, all I can say is, you know, first of all, again, I'm just going to say I don't listen to Kanye West. I don't really care for him that much. Well, didn't used to, but the fact of the matter is that, yeah, the discussion of Jewish power, which, you know, as Henry Ford said almost 100 years ago, is the world's first and foremost problem, the international Jew. Well, this discussion on Jewish power has now entered the mainstream, and it's entered the mainstream perhaps in the most, you could say, unexpected and really the most random way possible, which is through, you know, entertainment, you know, the entertainment business, with Kanye West now coming out and, fully calling out his, let's be honest, you're calling out his masters that he used to work for, you know, with all of those rap records, because, you know, we know the Jews were behind promoting gangster rap to white youths. So, yeah, I think, you know, say what you will about his, personal life. Obviously, his personal life is pretty screwed up, but that's besides the point. That's completely besides the point here. The point is that he is, you know, now reaching, you know, the masses with talking about Jewish power, and, you know, a lot of, you know, fans of his who would otherwise just be, you know, brain dead normies, are now gonna, see what he has to say and be like, that's interesting, Jewish power. And, you know, some of them will go look it up inevitably, and suddenly they won't become brain dead normies, but rather they'll be awakened to the Jewish question, which again is the first and foremost problem that we have. So, yeah, I think that's good that he's talking about. Now, the thing though is, we know, you know, these Jews, they'll stop at absolutely nothing to shut up and silence their competition. You know, we saw what happened to Michael Jackson a decade ago, when he questioned, actually 2 decades ago, when he questioned Jewish power. Well, he suddenly ended up dead. So, I mean, of course, right now with the, you know, in the cyber digital age we live in, and, you know, mass internet and information being able to travel so quickly, if the Jewish overlords tried to pull something with Kanye that they did with Michael Jackson, no doubt it will raise suspicion amongst not just the dissident alternative community, us, but also a lot of normie people will be questioning it too. So has there I guess, what has the Jewish mainstream media been saying about this? Have they been attacking Kanye and calling him an anti-Semite and a racist and everything?
So let's get the timeline here. I guess it was the first weekend of October. So we're recording this on Sunday evening. It's going to be broadcast, I'm pretty sure, on Tuesday afternoon. And so Kanye was, I believe the timeline is the first weekend of October. He was in France, and he and Candace Owens wore White Lives Matter shirts at a fashion event. Is that it, or was it a little bit earlier? And then he was on. Yeah, okay. So actually, it was a little bit earlier than that. But it was right at the beginning of October. And then I think Thursday and Friday of a week ago, he was on Tucker's show, and Tucker had a 2-day interview with him. He spent 2 days talking to him. And now, apparently, during the interview, Kanye West went off on Jews. And Tucker edited it out, but aired other parts of the interview, including him bad-mouthing Jared Kushner and Jared Kushner's brother. And so, you could say, on the one hand, Tucker kind of cucked out by editing out the Jewish parts of it, but on the other hand, he was providing Kanye with a platform. Well, then, over the weekend, last weekend, not this weekend, but last weekend, Kanye, he tweeted out, or I guess, did he tweet? No. Maybe he tweeted, or I'm not sure when he got kicked off Twitter, or maybe he had already been kicked off Twitter, so he went back to Facebook, or vice versa, something like that. That he was going DEFCON 3 on the Jews. And then he said something about, actually, it's funny, I can't be anti-Semitic because blacks are Jew. But it's just weird and whatever, but DEFCON, he said DEFCON, and he has since admitted it's just that he's bad at spelling, and he meant DEFCON, which is like some sort of warning level, a military warning level, where you're getting ready to defend yourself. Defense, I don't know what the con is supposed to be, but he was going DEFCON 3 on the Jews. So the past week, the last week, which would be the second week of October, you had a whole lot of, the Twitter sphere, the Jewish Twitter sphere was weighing in on it and very negative to Kanye West and saying he was anti-Semitic. You had Candace Owens saying, no, that's not anti-Semitic. He's just calling out all of these, individuals in Hollywood who happen to be Jewish who were doing bad things to him, which is weak and not really. It's not really true. It's not really accurate characterization, but that's kind of the it's kind of like a knee-jerk reaction that normies have, is like, no, it's not anti-Semitic. We're just talking about individuals. We're not talking about Jews as a group. But he really is talking about Jews as a group, and he's being explicit, and he is talking about Jews as a group. And you had somebody like what's the guy's name? Shapiro, Ben Shapiro, who was saying, well, Kanye West, it was good to say White Lives Matter, or it was good for him to be expressing himself and First Amendment, but it's bad that he's doing anti-Semitism. So kind of being wishy-washy. I don't follow the mainstream media closely enough right now to know if, like, it's even been reported on the nightly news. I don't know if it's getting into the nightly news. It may be getting into the Good Morning America type news or the Entertainment Tonight type of news. I'm not sure because I don't have a window to that. But the thing is, it's becoming unavoidable, and because he's such a big deal, and people are going to be asked about it. And Trump will be asked sooner or later, and probably sooner, probably within the next few days. Somebody's going to go up to Trump and call and say, where do you stand on this? And people are going to have to take a side. Tucker will be pushed to take a side. I'm sure maybe Sean Hannity is going to call Tucker out, because so much of this started on Tucker's show. And so Tucker's going to be forced to, you know, take a position on Kanye's anti-Semitism. So I know that was a long-winded answer to your brief question, and I don't even remember if – I guess you were asking what are they saying in the mainstream media.
Yeah, like, so what is CNN I guess CNN, the New York Times, I guess they're trying to hush it up and not say anything about it. Hopefully people won't – the word won't get out. Yeah, I mean, the fact that, what he did by, you know, bringing up this, this question into the mainstream is he basically inadvertently made our job much easier. Because now, you know, more people, cause here's the thing, you know, people like yourself, me, Dr. Duke, we've been, you know, silenced and demonized and slandered by the mainstream media. You know, granted, mainstream media doesn't exactly know who we are yet, but I mean, like Dr. Duke.
They know who Dr. Duke is for sure, because he actually had access to the mainstream media for 40 years.
Yeah, you know, so they've been demonizing him, and basically what Kanye did was he opened the door to all of Dr. Duke's talking points to come back into the mainstream, and now there's going to be people who, you know, they like Kanye, and they're going to see what he has to say, and they're going to turn to, they might eventually stumble upon Dr. Duke and say, wait a minute, this is the guy that they've been demonizing all this time for saying the exact same things that Kanye is saying. So why exactly is he being demonized? And in fact, who's running the media? So a lot of people will come to that conclusion. But just the fact that it's, you know, really shaking up the establishment narrative of things. You know, like you said on Fox News now, Sean Hannity, who's a fat Zionist, pig, is going to him and Tucker are, you know, Tucker's going to have to choose where he's going to stand, and Sean Hannity, you know, basically having nothing but Jewish talking points, is going to he's probably going to criticize Tucker. He's probably going to, you know, go off on Kanye, saying, you know, call him, say, oh, he was a degenerate and he shouldn't be taken seriously. And but it's the fact of the matter is it's shaking up the Jewish media narrative. And it's really dividing, and that's what we want. We want more instability in, you know, the elites. Have them start to, you know, talk amongst themselves and get into arguments, and that's what makes our job much easier.
Yeah, we need that. And you know, the thing is, some people might say, well, he's just he's saying that Jews are keeping blacks on the plantation or whatever. I mean, I do want to remind everybody once again that this started in the context of him wearing White Lives Matter shirt. So, you know, whether he's an ally or not, whatever, but, you know, that is factually where this started, was he wore a White Lives Matter shirt. But the thing is, regardless of that, we don't have any white people who have access to the mainstream media. David used to, but, you know, it was also in a different era where he could be on Meet the Press and he could say certain things, or, you know, he could be on with Wolf Blitzer and say certain things, and they could, you know, like in the case, Meet the Press, you know, he'd be on for the whole half hour or whatever the format was. But, you know, Wolf Blitzer could, like, just shut it down, and then they could pretend nothing happened. But we're in a different era now, because you've got the mainstream media has less of a monopoly. And, I don't know if people even understand this, but it wasn't so long ago that if you wanted to know something, you really had no alternative. And if it was, I'll just say, when I was a kid, if I wanted to know what the baseball score was for my team, well, and if they were playing on the West Coast and I was on the East Coast, it wouldn't be in the newspaper the next day. The only way I could find out, I'd have to wait for like another 24 hours until the next morning newspaper just to find out the score, unless either I tuned into like what, 24 hour radio station that I was there.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Just to find out the score, unless either I tuned into like what, 24-hour radio station, but I was at school, so how was I going to do that? And just happened to hear the news broadcast, and even then they probably weren't going to say the score. This is how it was. Just to find out the score of a baseball game, you might have to wait for 36 hours. That's how difficult it was. And, you know, if you didn't get it that day, you'd never find out because they were not going to run it again. You wouldn't be able to find it. So it was so hard to get information. It was so easy to bury stories. Kanye West isn't going to be buried, and he isn't backing down, and he's not apologizing. He said somebody called him up and said, look, I want to take you to the Holocaust Museum. And he told the guy to, you know, F off or whatever. He's not going to any Holocaust Museum. And so it's not going away, and you know, yeah. And why blacks? Well, I mean, there's no whites on the horizon who are in the who have a mainstream audience, mainstream access, who are willing to do this. They're going to talk about communism or socialism or the military industrial complex or the Chi-Coms or anything else, but they're not going to talk about Jewish problems. There's nobody there. There's zero nobody there. Kanye West has stepped up, and a few other blacks are starting to follow. They have less filter. They also have a little bit less to fear. They have their own race card to play, and they've been built up over the past several years as the you know, America's conscience and our you know, moral compass and whatnot. And you know, they've been built up that way as part of weaponizing them against white people. Well, now it's backfiring, And so I think that this issue, it's not necessarily going to be impossible to put the cat back in the bag, as Andrew Anglin talks about, but it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. And you think Kanye West should reach out to Mel Gibson?
Yeah, and Mel Gibson, remember, he only did this because he was drunk. I mean, his whole rant against Jews was not in public. It was in private when he was being arrested for drunk driving. And the officers somehow leaked it. The anti-Jewish rant he went on when he was being arrested for drunk driving. And that's how we knew about it.
He did produce The Passion of the Christ, which the Jews hate that movie because it definitely portrays the Jews as overwhelmingly responsible for the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I'm almost certain that was after the drunken driving incident. I could be wrong on that.
I don't know, but I think the two of them should become friends. That would make things more interesting for us and for everybody. Yeah.
Well, you know, whether based blacks are going to become an ally to whites or not isn't the point. You know, maybe it's possible, but that's not the point. The point is that there's a taboo and somebody's breaking the taboo. And I tell you what, if you were trying to put out a fire in your house, okay, and a guy runs up and gives you a working fire extinguisher, would you reject that working fire extinguisher just because you thought that the guy who's giving it to you might have actually set the fire in the first place? Or might have been playing with matches, or might have left, an open can of paint thinner near your house. He might be responsible for it in some way. Would you still reject the fire extinguisher?
No, not at that moment.
Not at that moment. I mean,
Once the fire's put out, you would want to investigate into seeing who was responsible for it. And very much just like here, once the Jewish elite, the American Empire, Jewish overlord ruling class is overthrown, or is no longer as powerful, then we can maybe talk about, okay, how are we going to, respectively divide, our territory, or how we're going to reorganize society. But that can only come after this federal Leviathan that sits in Wall Street in D.C. is, gone.
It really can. There's an expression in English, putting the cart in front of the horse. It's obviously a very old expression because we don't have horse-drawn carts anymore. But and this was, to me, this was a big problem of the so-called alt-right when the alt-right was kind of a thing. People aren't using that term much anymore. But, you know, Richard Spencer or some of the people in, I don't want to get too specific, but, you know, there were people who were just saying, okay, once we take over, like, all the blacks are just going back to Africa. They just got to go. And, you know, all the foreigners are going back, and this has to be whites only country. And what to do about Italians? Are they going to be able to stay or not? And I was like, and talk about putting the cart before the horse. A, these people are never taken over. B, they're never taken over because you could never get white people behind a program of mass deportation of everybody who's not white from the continental United States. It's just not going to happen. And, people have to accept that there are facts on the ground. I think, obviously, like if you had maybe bone cancer or something, at some point, you got to understand that maybe you're going to have a leg amputated, or maybe you're going to have to go through some sort of radiation therapy, and you're going to lose all your hair. And
the truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
Happy Columbus Day. I'm Peter Serafine, and this is today's Liberty Minute. Yes, I said Columbus Day. Christopher Columbus challenged the science of his time and was right. He did not fall off the edge of a flat earth. Instead, he charted the path to the New World, a pioneer worth celebrating. Columbus's daring journey into the unknown should be recognized as proof that science is never settled. Science should always be questioned and challenged, and anyone who says that the science is settled clearly does not understand the basic principles of science itself. Facts can only maintain their factual status if they are routinely questioned and challenged. To be fair, the indigenous people of the Americas deserve celebration too. Maybe there should be a National Indigenous Peoples Day, but it should not replace Columbus Day. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
At some point, you got to understand that maybe you're going to have a leg amputated, or maybe you're going to have to go through some sort of radiation therapy, and you're going to lose all your hair, and you're never going back to the way you were before. You know, whether you're talking about prosthetics or permanent medication or whatever, you're not going back to how you were before. It's not going to happen. And with relations between whites and blacks, or whites, you know, or like the Goyim and the Jews or whatever, figuring out exactly how that's going to work. Right now, we can't even do that because I don't know how far this thing is going to go. Are we ever going to, like, the main thing is we have to take care of the problem. The problem is Jewish power. Once you've taken care of the problem of Jewish power, then you can assess the situation and try to figure out what's what. But it's not going to be shipping 40 million or 50 million blacks across an ocean. I mean, that's just not happening. People who think like that, okay, you can dream like that for right now, whatever. There's not even a point in talking about it, but it's so unrealistic. Yeah, and,
at this point, it's like, you know, right now we're just fighting for, you know, the survival and existence of decency and morality and, you know, against this, you know, degenerate tyranny, this degenerate totalitarianism that has, come over us. And, and he talks about, what is our society going to look like in the future? You know, how many is America going to balkanize? Are we still going to remain united? I mean, all this is pointless right now. Right now, the main focus is we have to focus on, you know, the Jewish overlords, the Jewish power that run the federal system that we are all, you know, oppressed under. And of course, right now, you know, the greatest hope that we, you know, as dissidents and non-dissidents in the West that we have is Russia. And of course, Russia's, you know, best hope that they have to be able to be strong is China. So that's the reality.
Yeah, it's the reality. You know, if we ever defeat Jewish power, maybe the country will balkanize. Maybe it won't. I mean, I don't know. And well, we can find out at the time. But right now, the best things we have going for us right now, and these are things that, honestly, we really can't even control. We're kind of just observers. You've got Russia, who is directly taking on the Jewish empire. Even if they're not quite saying it's a Jewish empire, but they're getting closer and closer. In Putin's recent speech, where he's talking about America being run by Satanists, and they're pushing trannyism and homosexuality, and we are not going to promote this. And I mean, this is a big deal. And he's taking on this Jewish empire, and it is a Jewish world. NATO, America is the capital of a Jewish empire. It really is. And Russia's taking it on. They're the tip of the sword there, but they can only do it by creating an alternative alliance structure, which features first and foremost China. But then amazingly, India, which has been a regional rival of China, and you know, for a while, like Pakistan's at play, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, but they're coming together in this along this Russia China axis. And you know, some people are going to say, well, there's Jews at the top that are controlling everything. Well, if there's really Jews at the top and they're controlling everything and they're controlling China and they're controlling Russia and they're controlling America in Europe, then we have no hope anyway. And I'm just going to go off and learn how to play golf and take it easy the rest of my life. What's the point?
And that's a real bizarre and a very, you know, screwed up way to run things, if they have to, you know, manipulate everything and have everyone fight each other instead of just, you know, like from 1991, since the collapse of the Soviet Union, you know, the unipolar moment, the end of history, you know, the last man. And then that was, you know, when the American empire was unchallenged completely from 1991 to 2010 until Russia came along and China also came along. Why didn't they just keep things that way then? The way it was from 91 to 2010, if you know, wouldn't that be much easier to run things as opposed to having all these different blocks fight each other? I mean, yeah, that's a good way to put it. The Judeo-American Empire is what it ought to be called. Or, as Mark Collette puts it, he said, what did he say, Judeo-American Western Liberal Democracy. You know, which shortens to Judeo-American Empire. Because all these liberal democracies in the West, these Western European countries that are destroying themselves, are doing it at the behest of the American Empire. I mean, whether it's, you know, third world, you know, dark brown migration into Europe, whether it's, you know, as a result of the third world dark migration, the crime they bring with them, and the inability of native Europeans to do anything about it because they'll be called racist and, you know, many other things, and be arrested for hate speech. And, you know, or whether it's the most recent destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline by the United States. I mean, it's very clear. It's the United States that destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline because they want more Europeans to freeze to death. I mean, the United States wants to genocide Europe even further. So, you know, all these things is all being done at the behest of the Judeo-American Empire. And Russia is Europe and the world's last chance to fight against this satanic Judeo-American Empire, and Russia can't with the help of China.
No, they can't. And this is something that I think people really need to understand, because I've heard criticism, and you know, I can understand why people would think this, and you know, I had to give it a think to fully respond. But I've heard people say, you know, why is Putin letting this go on for so long? Why did I heard somebody say, why didn't he just take out all of Ukraine's military bases from day one, right? And, you know, like maybe that has kind of an appeal to it. But then, but if you really start thinking about it, and I don't know the gentleman who said this, if he's ever been to a military base. I wasn't in the military, but I've been to a lot of American military bases. I've, you know, been to Fort Benning and Fort Dix and you know, these places in Germany and Yongsan in Seoul. And I've been to Yokosuka in Japan. And and these places are huge, okay? Camp Zama. These places are enormous. How do you take out a military base? Are you going to drop nuclear bombs on them? How do you take out a military base? Now, the Russians did. On day one, they took out the Air Force and the air defense system, which, you know, are smaller. Those are more bite-sized and manageable. But how are you going to take out entire military bases? The thing is, in order to do something like, or another friend who's a good guy, said, well, why didn't he just decapitate the Ukrainian government? Why didn't he just, you know, bomb Zelensky's headquarters and assassinate Zelensky and you know, then everything? Well, A, I don't know if everything would work out like that. But B, the real contest here isn't on the battlefield in Ukraine. That was just the getting Russia into a military conflict in Ukraine wasn't an effort to defeat Russia militarily. It was to create a pretext for crippling economic sanctions that would bring down the Russian regime, so to speak. It was a regime change. Overthrow Putin, overthrow his government through economic sanctions that everybody, unprecedented economic sanctions that everybody would line up for because of outrage over the war. Well, it didn't work that way, and it didn't work that way first and foremost because of China, but then following China's example, most of Asia, Africa, South America, they just didn't line up. It wound up being North America, Europe, and, you know, unfortunately, Japan, South Korea lining up on, you know, team Zionism or whatever you want to call it.
Team J
and, you know, the rest of the world is on team civilization. And that's the thing. But the thing is, in order to put together this coalition, let alone China, how could India possibly go along with Russia, give it diplomatic and economic support, if on day one, Russia decapitates the Ukrainian government? That would be really hard. If Russia, you know, nuked Ukrainian military bases. No, Putin has had to act with a lot of restraint, partly because of, you know, family and ethnic connections between his own population and Ukrainians, but also in order to allow for the development of these international alliances to create alternative international structures for finance, for trade, for, you know, so many things. And he has had to act with restraint, although now, as time goes on and facts, you know, if new facts on the ground emerge, he's getting a freer hand as, you know, his diplomacy moves forward, as the West is intransigent, and in particular, he's gotten a freer hand when, you know, in the wake of the destruction of the Nord Stream 3 pipeline by the you know, the Team J, and you know, the what else was there? It's, you know, the bridge and things like that. But that's given him a freer hand that he didn't have before. But anyway, so I've been talking for a while, but that's my point.
Well, yeah, and also not only that, but, you know, Russia doesn't want to be like the United States, just go in and bomb everything to smithereens and then, you know, go in and call it a victory. You know, Russia is a moral nation with you know, morals and beliefs, to where there are certain things that are just so unethical and immoral they won't do. The United States is not. The United States is a rogue terrorist empire that will do anything it can by any means necessary to get what it wants. I mean, Russia does not want to turn the Ukraine into Iraq like the United States, what the United States did to Iraq. So, and we know how the Judeo-American Empire propaganda is, you know, just, you know, the Jew strikes out in pain, or what is it, the Jew strikes out, calls out, the Jew calls out in pain as he strikes you in the back with a dagger. Well, I mean, that's exactly how the American Empire is. The United States will point at other countries and call themselves aggressors while they bomb other countries to smithereens and expand their empire. So Russia doesn't want to fall into that trap of becoming, you know, by doing what the United States has done all around the world, especially from 1990 to 2010. And even more than that, in 2012, too. Don't forget, too, all the, you know, what the Obama administration did to Gaddafi in 2012. I mean, just most horrible, horrible way to die, you know, that poor man Gaddafi. And that was because the United States did that to him. So Russia doesn't want that. Russia, you know, wants, you know, they want their military strategy to be a legitimate one, to be one that the world looks at and says, yes, that is legit, that is reasonable. You know, the fact that right now in Ukraine, there's the, you know, the four eastern provinces were undergoing basically a genocide, a you know, ethnic cleansing by the Ukrainian regime, you know, which is run by Jews, but the, you know, the Russian-speaking peoples were suffering under this Ukrainian regime, so Russia had to go in and rescue their own people. And that's how Russia wants the whole world to see this as, and most of the world does see it that way.
Yeah, most of the world actually does. And you've had votes in the United Nations, and if you add up the population of the countries that are abstaining, very few countries are actually voting in support of Russia, but they're abstaining from these votes. If you add up the ones who are abstaining, as opposed to the ones who are supporting these, what do you call it, sanctions against Russia or the condemnations of Russia, yeah, that is the bulk of the world's population.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, yeah, most of the world, they don't find an issue with what Russia is doing. They say it's legit. Now, of course, they're going to stay out of it because it's not their conflict. But, yeah, they're definitely not going to go along with the United States.
And, you know, it's tough. There's something maybe a lot of people don't fully appreciate it. But, you know, you look on a map, you look on a globe, and you see borders, right? And, you know, countries, like governments around the world, don't want to lose territory. And a lot of governments have regions where there are, say, separatist movements. China's got a region like that, right? India's got a region like that. A lot of countries have regions with separatist movements. And, you know, Russia has, like in the, when the Soviet Union broke up, there was a very, you know, a violent separatist movement in Chechnya. You had potential separatist movements in Dagestan and I guess maybe in the Tartar Republic and some other places. So once you start redrawing boundaries, then what? And, you know, Russia, when the Soviet Union broke up, there were millions and millions of ethnic Russians who were orphaned in other countries. First and foremost, Ukraine, but also Latvia and Kazakhstan and lots of other countries, there were these Russian populations. But the thing is, once Russia starts redrawing boundaries and trying to incorporate these orphaned areas, well, then that has, you know, then these boundaries are no longer sacrosanct. Well, what happens to Dagestan? What happens to Chechnya? What happens to, you know, the Tatar Autonomous Republic and other places? And, you know, where does it end? So it was a precedent that even the Russian governments, the Yeltsin government and the Putin government did not want to cross. But it did get crossed. It got crossed with Kosovo. And this was something that the Russian government was complaining bitterly about when Kosovo was detached from Serbia. That, you know, now you're redrawing boundaries, and where is it going to stop? And so for India, for China, for any other country that's got separatist movements within their states, it's not easy. It's not an easy sell to say we're going to annex these four provinces. It's not an easy sell, and so it took time. It took a lot of diplomacy, but you know, now finally, as of the end of September, the beginning of October, the Russians have gotten to that point. And if this war continues, who knows what's going to happen? The longer it continues, the worse it is for the state of Ukraine. Should we care about that? I don't even know if we should care. It's like, but what I do care about is that Jewish empire.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
We care about that. I don't even know if we should care. It's like, but what I do care about is that Jewish empire, headquartered in America, gets taken down by a few notches.
Exactly. That's what matters the most. When that happens, that will also not only be better for, you know, Russia and the world, that will also be better for the Ukraine. Ukraine can once again, you know, be a sovereign Slavic nation, as opposed to what it is now, which is just a puppet regime run by Washington, D.C., run by Jews in Washington, D.C., and, you know, through their Jew puppet, Zelensky, who, by the way, Zelensky... Yeah, Drew Pup and Zelensky, who, by the way, I'm going to say this too for the record. Zelensky is one of the greatest mass murderers in the 21st century, in my opinion, if not the greatest mass murderer in the 21st century. How many people, how many Ukrainians have died because of him?
Yeah, I was going to say, who's he murdering?
Yeah, other Ukrainians. It's supposedly his own, so-called. You know, they're not his own because he's Jewish, but yeah, he's murdering Ukrainians, the people that he's ruling over.
I mean, it's just sending them into hopeless battles. It's just sending them by the tens of thousands into hopeless battles. And the whole rap against Saddam Hussein was, he gassed his own people! And, you know, an even faker complained about Assad is, he gassed his own people! Well, okay.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, Zelensky. Yeah, Ukrainian men, fighting age men, are banned from leaving the country. If they leave and are caught, they're arrested and sent to prison immediately, or just immediately sent to the front lines. A lot of, you know, these Ukrainian men are snatched and kidnapped by the government and shoved into the military to go fight. Zelensky is arrested to shut down all opposition to him. Every opposition leader has been, you know, arrested and sacked by Zelensky. And this is a democracy?
Yeah. I don't even care if it's a democracy or not, but it is a government of aliens who have no love for the people they rule over. And honestly, that's what the government we have in America, that's the government they have in Canada, government of aliens who don't have any love for their own people. I don't think you can say that about Russia, and I don't think you can say that about China.
No, not at all. Exactly. Russia and China, the governments of their respective countries, they love their own people. They're nationalists, they're patriots. They want to do what's best for the nation. They want to fight against this new world order, this Jewish American empire. By the way, there is one nation within the Jewish American, the Judeo-American empire bloc that does care for its own people all the way. You know what nation that is?
I would say Japan.
Israel.
Oh.
Israel. I mean...
I would say Japan, except Japanese are so confused that you've got, you know, Kishida, and he's not ruling in the interests of his own people, but the Japanese government is really, really confused. But that'll have to be the subject of another show.
Japan is still an occupied nation by the Americans.
It is. It's an occupied nation, and these people are confused, and, but we'll have to take that up some other time. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me, Cato.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back again. Hope you all enjoy this autumn weather while it lasts, and don't freeze to death.
Always good advice. And we will be back again, hopefully, next week. And I'll be back again, hopefully, tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Google Radio.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Because you can handle the truth.